From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message called In Agonies and Blood. With full understanding that no man can adequately describe what the Savior endured on the cross, Dr. Cairns is seeking to answer the questions of what Christ suffered, why he suffered, and how he suffered. Here we come to the greatest manifestation of the depravity of the human heart. Yet at the same time, as Dr. Cairns will point out, Calvary is also the grandest exhibition of the love of God for fallen men. May the Lord break our hearts as we gaze upon the crucified one. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, Einstein wrong? Absolutely.
Albert Einstein was perhaps the major 20th century scientist. His theory of relativity has guaranteed his place in science's gallery of geniuses. But Einstein was also a fool. And I can say that on the authority of the Word of God. Einstein's published views on religion were somewhat ambivalent. For example, he once said, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." Such statements have been the subject of much debate and have been used by some to back up arguments in favor of faith. However, in a letter dated January 3, 1954, that was auctioned in London last month, he wrote to the philosopher Eric Goodkind and gave his views on God, the Word of God, religion, and the Jews as God's chosen people. Einstein described belief in God as, quotes, childish superstition. As one of the world's most famous Jews, Einstein was asked to become Israel's second president. He refused, but said that he identified with them. He wrote, "The Jewish people, to whom I gladly belong, and with whose mentality I have a deep affinity, have no different quality for me than all other people." He added, "As far as my experience goes, they're no better than other human groups, although they are protected from the worst cancers by a lack of power. Otherwise, I cannot see anything chosen about them." He was scathing about the Bible. I quote, "The Word of God is for me nothing more than the expression and product of human weaknesses, the Bible a collection of honorable but still primitive legends which are nevertheless pretty childish. No interpretation, no matter how subtle, can, for me, change this." He utterly repudiated all religion, including Judaism. He said, "For me, the Jewish religion, like all others, is an incarnation of the most childish superstitions." There can be no doubt that Albert Einstein by now knows the utter folly of his views. Too late for his change of mind to do him any good. He was undoubtedly a man of immense ability, but he was a fool who perverted the ability his Creator had given him to deny the giver. That's not my opinion. It's the plain statement of God himself. Psalm 14, verse 1. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." I must say that I find no joy in reporting Einstein's religious views. It is ineffably sad to think of any man dying with such a denial of God in his heart. We're dealing with the eternal destruction of a human soul. The Bible is unequivocal. He that believeth not shall be damned. Wishful thinking cannot alter the awful reality that one of the 20th century's most celebrated men, a man eulogized for his intellectual powers, lived his life as the ultimate fool. Einstein's words about the Bible are applicable to his own views. No interpretation, no matter how subtle, can change this. Let us be clear in one thing. The reason for Einstein's atheism was not intellectual. It was rooted in his heart. As the Bible said, he did not like or desire to retain God in his knowledge. His trouble was heart trouble. He was a sinner and loved his darkness. And that was why he lived in the darkness of hopeless atheism. The father of relativity was wrong. Absolutely wrong.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. We're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. The various articles will help you to understand the nature and purpose of these special creatures whom God has created for His glory, for His service, as well as for His people. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak. 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Considering the sufferings of Christ, there are 3 points that I would want to cover, whether I get to cover them or not, as purely a matter of conjecture. For they are vast, vast areas of truth. First, very simply, what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. Then why He endured that suffering. And finally, how He did it. Now, what the Lord Jesus suffered. I said that the Old Testament actually gives us a more detailed description of some aspects of the sufferings of Christ than the New Testament. You think of the words of Isaiah chapter 53. You think of verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I think that you can see that there are different aspects to the sufferings of Christ. There are different kinds of suffering. The wounding, literally the piercing, reminds us of the physical agony of Christ. Then the bruising, the idea is actually a crushing. While the Hebrew term is different, I think the concept is the same. As Genesis 3, there is a crushing, and there is therefore the idea of the spiritual conflict in the sufferings of Christ. And then going even more deeply into it, we have the chastising of Christ. That is the hand of the Father laying its rod upon Christ. So we're dealing now with the divine judgment aspect of His sufferings. Here then are 3 aspects, 3 kinds of sufferings that the Savior endured. There is physical agony. There is spiritual conflict. And there is divine judgment. Now let us think of them. The physical agony. And we are working, as it were, from the outside in, going ever more deeply into the very soul of the Lord Jesus in his sufferings at the cross. The New Testament leaves us in no doubt of the physical agony of the sufferings, but it doesn't describe them in much detail. It skips over them with rather strange and surprising brevity. Though the Old Testament prophecies do give us a lot of the details concerning those sufferings. We read that the Lord Jesus was scourged. Roman crucifixion was preceded by a scourging. Now, I do not feel to understand what the word means. It means a whipping. But it was not the kind of scourging that the Jews would have practiced when they laid on the 40-striped sea of one. The Roman scourging was usually accomplished by a whip called a flagellum. That was usually made up of thongs of leather, into which the Roman soldiers usually inserted as weights pieces of bone, of lead, and they also inserted nails. In this way, the leather flails would have the weight to be carried to their target. The victim was usually secured to a pillar, or sometimes to a frame. One of the most moving sights in my visits to Jerusalem was to go to the Palace of Antonia. That is Pilate's judgment hall. It's one of those places we can be sure was actually the place that it was claimed to be. Archaeologists have discovered the original Gabbatha, the pavement. You can actually see in those ancient paving stones, now underground, but you can actually see the markings of the games of dice where the gambling soldiers would have whiled away their hours. And down there, you will find pillars where a man of normal size would be stretched across, his arms secured, so that his tormentors could come with their cruel whips, tear his flesh to pieces. That, in all probability, the very place where the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was stretched for scourging. In prophecy, the Lord Jesus said, Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Then all against Roman law, the Roman soldiers, we're specifically told that these were the soldiers of Pilate. How he ever stood by as a Roman judge to see his own soldiers stand Roman law on its head is hard to explain, except that they were all unwittingly fulfilling the ancient prophecies of God's word. But they robed Christ in scarlet or in purple. They crowned him with thorns. They spat in his face. They put a rod like a scepter in his hand, and then they took it and they smote him on the head, and then with their hands they smashed his face. And then they took him to be crucified. A victim of Roman crucifixion had to carry all or part of his own cross. Usually he needed help. This scourging left men more dead than alive. It's hard for us to understand, to look beyond a word, to see the ripped flesh and the mangled body and that weakened frame. The Lord Jesus carried his cross with Simon Cyrene coming behind him, probably carrying the other end. When they got to the cross, like every other victim, the Lord Jesus was stripped of his clothes, the clothes of a crucified victim were the perks given to his executioners. It's interesting that Adam was created naked in his innocence and was clothed to cover the shame of his sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ was stripped of his clothes, though innocent, and put to shame for us. For only thus could he provide for his people the robe of righteousness and the garments of eternal salvation. We read that he was offered a cup of vinegar mingled with gall. Vinegar of wine mingled with gall or myrrh. In other words, this was a medicated drink that was given to people who were just about to suffer even more in order in some way to dull the pain. It was usually one of those few and very inadequate acts of mercy. But the Lord Jesus Christ refused that medicated drink because he must bear all the agony. He must bear it consciously. He must bear it without human aid. He must bear it willingly. And he must bear it fully. Very often, a victim was nailed to the cross while it was on the ground. And then it was hoisted and he was hung for a lingering death. You can forget about all those pictures of three tall crosses standing up on a hillside. You can forget about that. Crosses were not tall structures. They were as small as they could possibly be, for obvious reasons. The feet of the victim were usually no more than 12 to 24 inches off the ground. You see, when they sat down and watched him there, when they spoke to him, they weren't speaking to someone that they could hardly see away on the top of a hill. They were able to look up into the face that was masked in blood. They could hear the whisperings of his voice. And they knew that he could also hear theirs. Hoisted up for a lingering death, the victim of crucifixion died under the most frightful agony. Crucifixion was intended to exact the most awful penalty. People didn't die from the loss of blood unless it would come from their scourging. They died from slow asphyxiation. People were known to lie on those crosses for up to 3 days, sometimes even more. And every time the breath would be cut off, they'd be hauling themselves on their pierced hands and pushing with their pierced feet. Sometimes, and very often even, there was a little butt made, a little place to rest, so to enable them to pull up, to prolong the agony. Until finally, the body gave in. That's why they broke the legs of the victims to hasten their end, so that they could no longer haul themselves up and clear an airway for their breath to flow. If you turn to the 22nd Psalm, you find the Lord Jesus speaking, and these are his words. And they tell you a little about the physical sufferings. Verse 14. I am poured out like water. and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell, declare, number or count, as all those ideas. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. These are the agonies and blood.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.